All right, good morning again. You have a teaching outline in your materials. If you'd get that out now, I'd appreciate it. It would help you follow along, and don't want to discourage you, but I'm going to give you a homework assignment this morning. All right, it's part of your materials. We're in a series about how can I change, and this is part three. We're going to spend a few more weeks on this. We're trying to get serious about this. Cover as much detail as possible. Today's topic is going to be pretty simple. If you don't pay attention, you might miss it. So I'd ask for special attention. I must identify the areas of my life that I have failed so that, and need to change, so that God can bring about that change and bring me victory. I thought about it this way. Those of you who have children, your children go out and play, one of your children go out and play, and they come in and they have a dirty shirt. And you go and say, go change your dirty clothes. Well, they come back and they change their pants. Well, whose fault is it? Well, you weren't specific, you just said dirty clothes. Maybe their pants were dirty too, and you didn't see it, and they saw it, so they changed the pants. The point is, you need to be specific. They might have taken off clean pants and changed them, right? So we know we're all sinners, and we all fail, and we do things we shouldn't, and we don't do things we should. But the point is, what specifically are we doing that we shouldn't or not doing that we should? Then we can change it, like the child, if you tell them specifically. So I must also detect those areas of my life where I need to do good things. So it's just not stopping the bad things, it's starting good things. So, what specifically does God want to change in you and in me? Until we know, it can't happen. How many of you would like to be like Jesus? Put your hand up. All right, everybody puts their hands up, right? We all would want to be like Jesus. Most people out there might even say they would like to be like Jesus. But what specifically do you want to be like Jesus? We talked about the woman at the well, was that last week? Recently. Do we want to be able to interact with an immoral person, for example, like her, like Jesus? Well, that'd be a good thing. But what specifically do you want to be like Jesus? What right now? So the title of the message is, Let's Get Specific. Can you repeat that with me? Let's get specific. Good. Now, you will get specific by the end of this half-hour talk, teaching, if you pay attention, if you don't tune me out. So I'm going to encourage you not to tune me out this morning. Okay? I'll do the best job I can to keep your attention. So I'm going to give you five steps, specific steps, on how to get specific. So step number one is this. Ask in faith for wisdom. Ask in faith for wisdom. Do you think God wants to tell you or wants you to know what He wants to change in your life? What do you think? Yeah, sure He does. Okay? And in fact, He's doing all He can to get that across to you. And this teaching will be part of that this morning. God is the architect, the contractor, and the co-worker in your and my personal change. So we're going to look at first at James chapter 1. We looked at this passage probably a month or so ago. But we're going to look at it a little differently this morning. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles or trials or problems come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Let's focus on that word opportunity. We can take advantage of an opportunity, and sometimes we miss an opportunity, don't we? Okay, so there's the opportunity. The question is, will we take advantage of it or will we miss it? Now, an athlete knows that he must train in his field if he is going to gain victory in certain activity. The training isn't necessarily fun. It's often hard work. But he does it, takes the opportunity, advantage of the opportunity. Student the same way. A student doesn't necessarily have fun when he's studying. We have a physics professor in our first service, and I ask him, do all your students have fun studying? Of course not. All right? But hopefully, most of them put in the hard work of studying so they can pass the class and eventually graduate from college, right? So they take advantage of the opportunity for learning. So it's hard work for character transformation. And if we don't put in the hard work, it doesn't happen. So let's get back to the passage. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, that's the word we want to look at, has a chance to grow. See, endurance is the key. Some translations use the word patience. Another one uses perseverance. It's actually literally the ability to stay under. And we talked about that last time. When you feel pressure on you, what is our tendency to want to do? Escape it. Run away, right? I thought of this old illustration. A lump of coal becomes a diamond only what? Under great pressure. And so God is using pressure in your life and mine. If you get the coal out from under the pressure, it never becomes a diamond. And you and I will never become the character of Christ without the pressure and the endurance, patience, perseverance to stay under until God is able to do his work. So whether you're having difficulties at work, stay there until God moves you. Difficulties in your marriage, you stay there, period. God to work on that one. Any difficult circumstance, you stay under the trial, the problem, until God can work his work in you. In fact, if God can produce this character quality of endurance, patience, perseverance, he can almost do anything else. All right? And without this quality, he can almost, there's nothing hardly that he can do. This is the key to character change, is endurance, patience. Now, that's what the next verse is about. He goes on to say, so let it grow. What's growing? The endurance, the patience. For when your patience is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. But what's the process of getting there? It's through patience or endurance. That's what God's going to use to change you and I. That's one of the problems I have, being changed, because that's not an area that I personally am good at, and I'll share that later. Let's get back to our text. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Now, what's God trying to change right now? Well, the good news is he offers wisdom about the specifics. Excuse me. So what kind of wisdom are we talking about here? Maybe we need to buy a new car. You're going out car shopping this week and you're saying, okay, God, I need wisdom. Buy the right car. Is that what wisdom we're talking about here? No. Now, that's a good thing to do, and I'd encourage you to do that, but that's not what this passage is talking about. It's talking about wisdom, about your trials, what God's trying to do in your life. Right? You and I go through trials all the time and don't learn a thing. Why? Because we haven't asked God for wisdom to teach us, or we haven't endured, or we've been stubborn, right? So, ask God for wisdom about the trial, what he wants to change in your life. If I ask God, what do you want to change in my life, will he answer that? We'll get to that again later. So, God, what do you want change in me as a parent? God, what do you want to change in me as a spouse? What do you want to change in me as an employee? What do you want to change in me as a Christ follower? What specifically do you want to change? But there's a condition for the change to happen, and it's also in the text. But when you ask him for what? The wisdom about changing. Be sure that your faith is in God alone. All right? So faith is the necessary ingredient for us to get the wisdom. Now, it talks more about not having faith in the rest of the text than it does about having faith. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as the wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people, doubting people, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, much less the answer or the wisdom about character change. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So what are we unstable in? What are we doubting? Well, character change. Most of us say, yeah, there's some things about me I would like to change, but there's other things, God, I'd just like you to leave alone. I sort of want to change, or I sort of want to change some things. Can anybody relate to that? So until I'm sure, until I really want to change, God's not going to necessarily reveal to me what it is he wants to change. And the trial, the trouble, the problem is basically wasted. Why does God not answer the prayer? Because you and I aren't serious. You and I aren't exercising our faith for God to change us. So point one, in being specific about change, is ask God for wisdom. Ready to move on to point number two? How do I get the specifics? How do you get the specifics? Wait to God to talk to you in an audible voice? He did that to some people in the Bible. I've never had him do that to me, so if I'm waiting for that, I wouldn't know exactly what he wants me to change. Are you waiting for a vision? God to have a vision showing you some, again, characters in the Bible. God's never showed me a visual vision. I've gotten mental visions often. So how exactly is God going to tell me specifically what he wants me to change? Well, what do we have that is specific from God? It's a pretty big book, right? I don't know if I've read this whole one, but I don't think I've ever read a book quite this thick besides this book. There's a lot of specifics in there. So we're going to take two passages. We could take more, but we don't have time. We're going to take two passages that get specific about things God wants to change. This first one uses an illustration of putting on and putting off. All right? When I get home after my activities here at church today, I'm going to take these clothes off. These are my church clothes, believe it or not, folks. My go-to-meeting clothes. But anyway, I'm going to put on more comfortable clothes. All right? I don't put my other clothes on top. Keep adding clothes. So I'm going to take these off to put other clothes on. So same thing with our character. There's things we need to take off and other things we need to put on. So first we're going to find out about things to put off. And ask God for wisdom. Ask God to convict you as you read, as I read, or we read together. Put to death or put off the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, okay, impurity, okay, lust, ouch, and evil desires, okay, don't be greedy for greedy people. A person is an idolater, worshiping things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world, but now it's time to get rid of anger, ouch, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. Ouch. For you stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. All right. I kind of editorialized as I was going along. But that's a list of things to put off, things that God wants to change. And if you're like me, and I assume most of you are somewhat like me, there are things in that list that God convicted you about. Other things that didn't move you at all. Was this passage really hard to understand? You know, our small group just studied Revelation. Half the book we didn't understand. Was this hard to understand? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. And it is specific, isn't it? If you did not feel convicted, let me just say this. You have a problem. All right? Because the Spirit of God dwells in believers, and something happens when, as believers, we read God's Word. I can say this at least about you. You're not ready to change. At worst, you're not a believer if nothing in that list touched your spirit. All right, so that's what we put off. What about stuff to put on? All right, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. I just said that. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, we talked about being holy last week, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. Ouch. Kindness, humility, ouch. Gentleness and patience, ouch. Make allowances for each other's faults, ouch. Forgiving anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Let's continue reading. Above all, clothe yourself with love, ouch, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live at peace and always be thankful. Ouch. You know, a lady in the first service confessed that she was having a pity party yesterday. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Feel convicted yet? God wants to change some things in you and I. And those are some examples. The interesting thing about when you read that list is other things come to mind, like gluttony or watching too much TV, or there's other lists we could use in Scripture, and we're going to use one other one. But God wants to change specific things in your life and mine. This other passage in Galatians is a different example. It's an example of illustration of walking or being Spirit-led. So let's pick this up in verse 18. And I'm not going to editorialize this time. I'll let the Spirit of God just do it for you. When you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. I confess I hadn't been to a wild party lately, the first service. And I was just at a party a week ago, a small group party, and one of the folks from the group was here, and he said, "You were at a wild party last week." I wouldn't classify it as wild, but we were at a party, weren't we? Anyway, and other sins like these. So you can add to the list. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Whew. It's tough after a while. Read this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Feeling convicted yet? What things does God want to work on in your life? Well, let's look at some positive changes God might want to make. Again, the passage switches to things to put on, or things we should be doing. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, and joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. It's going to be a topic for our upcoming teaching, how we do that. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Well, let me ask you a simple question. Why are these lists in the Bible, do you think? I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because God wants you and I to get specific. Change cannot happen without specifics. So, what does God want to change in your life? If I ask you that question, what are you going to say? Now, normally, people would give aren't very responsive. Sometimes I give kind of general answers, like he wants me to be more loving or more serving or more, you know, general, broad categories. Other people will kind of fudge and say, well, I know he's doing something. Other people won't even answer the question. They'll say it's too personal, or they'll change the subject. Is it really hot this week? See, as Christians, we're just liars. We sing songs like, I surrender all. Do we surrender it all? Nah, we sing that song, and I know what we mean when we sing it. Well, I'm hopefully going to get to the place where I surrender all. But that's not what the song says. An old Bill Gaither song, he's still working on me. I'm not going to sing it. Something about birds and the something, and then there's a line, how loving and patient he must be. Yes, he is. But what specifically does he want to change? He doesn't change without specifics. What's he working on? Because if you can't say it, he's not working on it. We were working out here on the building this week, obviously. It looks different than last week if you were here last week. Well, we weren't just out here with hammers and nails just walking around. We specifically did things. We took this window out and that window out, and we filled it back in, and we put some siding on, and we did roofing, and we did specific things. In fact, sometimes folks will ask, well, what are you going to work on this week? Well, we're going to be just working. You've got to have specifics for God to change you. Now, there's two errors that I see in this whole topic. One is that we kind of say, well, God's got to do it. You know, well, that's just the way I am until God changes me. The other error is willpower. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, I think. I called it will weakness. You know, I try and control my anger. I'm going to not be angry. Within 5 minutes, what have I done? Lost my temper, right? So it's not all God, it's not all you, it's cooperation. Now let me ask you a simple question. Will God do his part? Every time, okay? So if you and I aren't changing, where's the problem? Where's the disconnect? You're in my cooperation with God. So let me ask you a simple question. Is God still changing people? I sure hope so. We might as well just close our doors. Came across a beautiful music video, I think, that demonstrates this really well. Powerful. When God wants to change you, does He want to make you ugly? No, He wants to get you break out of the bondage of sin and make something beautiful. So here's what we need to do now. Point number three. Isolate your own area of need. Not your spouse's, okay? Not your kids. Look at this passage in Romans 14. Why do you condemn another believer? You know, they need to change. Pastor needs to change. Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for the Scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. You know, folks, one day you and I are going to have to give a speech to God. He's going to stand there and say, okay, let me hear it. And we're going to say, well, I had my plans, I had my ideas. And He's going to say, well, what about what I wanted to do? Well, you know, I had this circumstance, and you know, my wife wouldn't cooperate, and the kids wouldn't behave. But what about what I wanted you to do? We're all going to give a personal account. It's a little scary, isn't it? Every one of us should be able to answer that question. What is God changing in your life right now? Should be on the tip of our tongue. Well, He's working on this, He's working on this, He's working on this. Every one of us. Do you have a passion for God to transform your character? Three blanks at the bottom of that page. This is your homework assignment. Go back and read those two passages with the lists. All right? And whenever you feel an ouch, you write a word down. Okay? You might need more than three. I needed more than three. Okay? But three is fine. You know, you can't work on everything at once. Maybe you need to read through it or whittle the list down to three things. That might be a good thing to do. Right? Specific things that God wants to change. And point number four, it's going to make you uncomfortable. Confess my sin to a friend. Now, we don't confess to someone else for forgiveness. We confess to God for forgiveness. But we do confess for support and accountability. As we'll read here, we'll see there's great power in this. And I think one reason we're so powerless as believers and as a church, or church in general, is because of this one failure here. I was at a retreat and really got fascinated by another church that the leadership literally practices weekly accountability. And I'm still praying about how we can do more of that here as a church. But let's read here from James chapter 5. Confess your sins to each other. You know what? That's one of those verses we leave out of the Bible. Well, Baptists do. I don't know other denominations. We don't do that, do we? Very rarely. It's in the Bible just like all the other verses. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. We do that so that you may be healed. We all need healing. We're all broken. We all need changing. Well, what's part of the process? Confessing it to each other and praying for each other. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. What does confess mean? It says say the same thing. So if you find a friend and you confess, for example, I would confess, you know, I struggle with anger issues and impatience. My friend, whoever that is, if they know me, you're going to say, thinking anyway, they might not say it. Well, it's about time you realized it. It's about time you confessed it. Hopefully they say, hey, that's great that God's revealing that to you and God's convicting you of that. So why would we confess to a friend our sin? Why would we do that? Would be embarrassing. Let me give you two reasons. One, it gets it out in the open. Out in the light. Not in the dark. Satan loves the dark. You need light to do positive changes. I had some dental work done recently. I was in a dentist's chair for like an hour. And the dentist has this light. He sticks about this far from your face. And if you're there an hour, it gets annoying after a while. He walked out and the assistant was kind enough to turn it down for a while. But he got him thinking about that. I'm glad he has the light when he's working on my teeth. How about you? It'd be a little scary if he was working in the dark. Well, God wants to work on you and I in the light. That's the only way he can work on us. And if you're really got an area of your life that you're struggling in, most likely it's an area that you've kept in the dark, those secret sins. All right? So get it out in the light so you can experience the power of mutual confession, because usually how this works is it's mutual accountability, and then the other person will share theirs with you. Let's read here from 1 John. If we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We claim we have no sin. We have nothing to confess. We're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. We talked about how important truth was last week. But if we confess our sins to Him, in this case, God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. So it gets it out in the open. And secondly, it gets us some prayer support. All right? It says there's great power in prayer. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. This is difficult, but I'm going to go first. I'm going to do the homework assignment. I've been reading these passages for several weeks and letting God work in my life. So I'm going to give you my three. They're not in order of importance or significance or worst to least worst, just the way God revealed them to me. Number one, and I've already stated this, I put it several words, impatience, frustration, anger, and resentment. Been an ongoing issue in my life. Any of you that know me for any amount of time know there's something I struggle with, right? And the funny thing is, just because I'm doing better in this area, my wife, nod your head, yeah, okay, I'm doing better in this area, still it was at the top of the list because it's just right there. In fact, was that last night? We haven't done our financial peace, people. We haven't done our budget for the month yet. It's already a week into the next. And she shows me a pile of receipts that aren't in the in the budget yet. And I was just about ready to. But I didn't, I don't think. And I said, we'll work on those. You asked, so we'll work on those together. And I'm thinking, okay, we'll work on those together. But it's still right there. It's just right there all the time. Second thing is pride. I got to confess, I think I'm a better person than I am. I think I'm a pretty good guy until I start spending time with God in His Word. He starts convicting me about these different things in my life. It needs to change. So pride was number two. Third one was lust. It's always been a struggle for me, for most guys, I think. Again, it's an area I think I'm doing better, but that's one of them. God says, okay, it's just right there. Something flashed across a TV screen, a computer screen. It's just right there. Somebody walked by. So those are three things. And now these are all putting off things, because again, you got to take them off before you can put other things on, right? Now I think you do them both together. But that's my three things. Now I've shared those with you so you can pray for me, right? You can even ask me, how you doing? And I might say, hey, I had a bad week. I lost my temper. Or maybe, yeah, God's power, I'm getting victory in this area. It's hard, but you need to admit it. And I'm just going to say, if you cannot find a person that you trust to do this with, I think this is so important. If you'll trust me, I can be that person. And if you can't do it in person, you can write me a letter even. And I'll guarantee you, I will pray for you and I will not judge you. In fact, I don't think you can come up with anything I hadn't heard before. In fact, it would be kind of exciting to hear of a new sin. But I don't know. But anyway, find someone to confess your sins to. And we're just about finished here. Point number five, quickly. Express to God my willingness to change. Now, you can do everything I've talked about this morning, but if you do not have a willing heart to change, you won't change. Mention how stubborn we are, right? So let's look at 1 John chapter 5. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you, I want you to underline the word know, that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask Him for anything that pleases Him. Now, if I ask Him about what He wants to change in my life, does that please Him? Say yes. Yes, okay. So, I am confident when I ask, He's going to answer. And since we, there's that word again, know, He hears us when we make our request. We also, what? Know that He'll give us what we ask for. God, change me. Give me patience instead of impatience. Give me humility instead of pride. Give me a pure heart instead of lust. Will God answer that prayer? I am confident. I know. There is nothing more God wants to do. You want to thrill God's heart? You pray that prayer. Let's pray together now. God, I thank You that You want to get specific with me. Because even though it's easier to just kind of say, yeah, I need to change and just be more like Christ, not much happens. It's not hard, but you can't make that beautiful thing in me. God, I pray for each person here. This is serious stuff. It's not easy stuff. This is not surface stuff we're talking about here this morning. And I pray for the courage and to spend the time with You and with those lists, to write those things down, the courage to find someone to share that with, and the confidence, God, to trust You to bring about that change. God, the most important change, of course, is from death unto life, receiving the gift of salvation of Your Son Jesus, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life. If you're here this morning without that change, God wants to radically change you. It's called a new birth. It's a resurrection from deadness of sin to newness of life. And God will do that in your life if you just ask Him. So God, I pray for that person or persons here that need to make that change, that Your Spirit will bring them to the place of surrender. God, in all the changes You make it, all of us, we want to give You praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of a different teaching or message this morning. I just pray you would take it seriously. There's no reason to be sad other than the fact that God needs to break us sometimes so He can heal us. So what we're really at here this morning is healing. As you let God's Spirit work. And we'd love to be a part of that. We can pray for you. We can counsel you. But you need to let us know. So that's what your response cards are for. Just share any way that we can help. And together, God will change us. Thank you.